This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is the Breakfast Grill. What could Malaysia do with 28 billion ringgit? Plenty. Improve healthcare infrastructure, reduce the fiscal deficit, embark on another round of stimulus to help SMEs and B40s. Instead, that is the sum the government has pumped into Malaysian Airlines since 2014, an expensive bill that taxpayers have picked up to keep our national airline afloat. But is this the last of the bailouts, though? We speak to Captain Izam Ismail, Malaysian Aviation Group CEO and Malaysian Airlines, otherwise known as MAB Managing Director. Thank you for coming on the Breakfast Grill, Captain. A lot to discuss, but I really want to focus more on the future and the viability of this airline, considering the many challenges ahead. So, Captain, how dire is the situation? Domestic borders have reopened, international slowly, but at what level is MAB operating on at a pre-crisis basis? How many planes still remain grounded?
Good morning, Xiaoning. Thank you for having me here. I am bullish for 2022 onwards. At the moment, Malaysia Aviation Group, or Malaysia Airlines specifically, we're operating at 25% capacity versus 2019. And the recent relaxation of the borders, especially the Langkawi bubble, we have seen very fantastic booking. Our sales have gone up by 500% comparatively to COVID level, and approximately 10% better than 2019. That's for Langkawi itself. I see that the domestic market will continue to be to open up, and I see that ASEAN region will start to open up second half of 2022, and I see, or rather we see, the global market will stabilize itself optimistically by 2024, first quarter at least. We have been deploying our aircraft opportunistically, and our 330 is actually the workhorse, very high utilization. We mounted thousands of, we convert the aircraft to a cargo aircraft, and we have more than close to 11 hours utilization per day for that fleet alone. No doubt the 737-800, our narrow body, we put them on the ground and it's on hybrid parking, so it's not long-term parking. And we utilize them every 5 days. We rotate the aircraft so they continue to remain as airworthy. As I said, I'm bullish for 2022 moving forward.
But of course, it's coming from a very low base, right?
Of course.
But I want to know how the restructuring has been, because I know you've managed to buy some time from the 75 creditors that you have.
Correct.
With a restructuring plan earlier this year. But how much time? Because I'm quite sure some of these creditors, which range from the aircraft operating lessors, aircraft financer lessors, spare engine lessors, providers may have been willing to take a break or take a moratorium or even a haircut, but they still want to be paid eventually.
Definitely. So touching a little bit on restructuring, even my predecessors did numerous attempts to reset the balance sheet and to reset the cost structure of this airline or this company. When I took over the job in 2017, that was my number one agenda. But as you can see, it was really tough. And the idea of a strategic investor came into play in 2019 to help us. Yeah, COVID-19 is a curse to the global economy. To me, in Malaysia Aviation Group, we found it as an opportunity.
Mm.
So we reached out to all our creditors as early as March 2020. And mind you, we activated Malaysia Airlines into crisis mode in November 2019.
Oh, even before?
Even before.
When people weren't aware of COVID.
Yeah, when Wuhan started.
Okay.
And the experience of SARS that we had.
Mm.
So we went into a crisis mode in November 2019. And as we progresses, we realized this is an opportunity for us to really look into the balance sheet. And the concept of going into the restructuring with creditors is not to induce pain. No, not really. Not at all. Merely is for us, with our partners, to survive this crisis. So we had early conversation in March, April. So there were some moratoriums provided to us. Then eventually we decided that, hey, this is the best time for us to seriously talk with our creditors, all 75 of them. It was not easy. And I knew that time is an essence.
But the debt was 16 billion ringgit, right?
25 billion.
25. So what is the level of debt now? And also, how much haircut were they willing to take at the end of the day?
So every aircraft, lessors, OEMs, so an average is about 20%. But there again, Xiaoning, when you request and ask someone for a haircut, right, you have to have credibility in your plan moving forward. It's not only asking for a reduction in our lease, we need to depict and demonstrate that our long-term business plan is credible.
That you're a viable airline.
Precisely. So the spirit of the restructuring is interconditional. Everybody has to agree.
Wow, that must have been rather challenging to get...
Very challenging, including the shareholder.
Okay, so Khazanah also had to
agree. Including the shareholder. So everybody has to agree. If one of our creditors disagree, everything collapses. And the time that we took to do this restructuring is very lightning speed, 4 months. 4 months.
So what's the level of liability? So it's much less, 25 billion, less 20%.
So we have, no, that is on the rental rates.
Okay.
But total liability that we have able to reset or restructure is 52%. So 9 billion in our liability. We're able to remove, 10 billion of our debt. And in 2020 alone, we are able to achieve about 5.7 billion of cost avoidance and cost saving. That translates to about 43% improvement in our debt to EBITDA ratio based on 2022.
Do you think there's discipline now to maintain this balance sheet prudence? Because it's not like no other CEO before you has not done something like this. And then later on, debt levels rise again. Have lessons really been learned?
The story of 28 billion started before 2000, Xiaoning. Along the way, we were too ambitious. We were flying to every part of the world, right? And we were not very disciplined in our cost structure, structurally. And with the evolution of low-cost carriers coming into play and the strengthening of the Middle Eastern carriers. So as Malaysia Airline previously progresses, henceforth, we were not able to restructure our costs. And we were not able to be competitive at the market. So it's just like, you know, you're digging one hole, you cover this hole, you dig another hole. So it's a vicious cycle. It keeps on going. Rightfully said, a lot of money has been forwarded to Malaysia Airline and Malaysia Aviation Group for the last 20 over years, amounting to about 28 billion. But Xiaoning, that's history.
Okay.
That's history. I am very confident with the recent restructure or reset of our balance sheet and cost structure, I'm confident Malaysia Aviation Group is very lean and agile now. So the discipline now is how do Malaysia Airline operate moving forward? So to a certain extent, it is an airline. At the same time, we have to adopt disciplines like a bank managing its funds. At the same time, we have to reinvent the people that works in Malaysia Aviation Group. There are some sound bites out there that Malaysia Airline staff are laid back. I have to defend them. Not anymore.
To be fair, I've seen your staff costs come down.
Pre-COVID, our staff cost was about 30%. Now we're doing about 10%. Vast improvement. What is our focus, Malaysia Aviation Group? So first and foremost, we're very clear. Malaysia Airline is an airline that represents Malaysia. We carry the flag throughout the world. But we must be commercially viable as well. Right, we cannot continue to expect funding from the government.
But you did receive some funding recently from Khazanah, right?
Yes.
To the tune of
3.6 billion. So that's part of the interconditional agreement among creditors and the shareholder. So
is that the last though? Has Khazanah said we're not going to give you any more money?
No, to be honest, it's not from Khazanah. It's from me.
Okay.
I don't want any more money after this. So under my watch, Xiaoning, we will do our best that the 3.6 billion under the downside scenario. The 3.6 billion is computed based on a downside scenario.
And what is that downside scenario?
So the downside scenario is that at any one time, Malaysia Aviation Group must have a cash balance of 700 million. Positive.
And what is your cash balance now though?
About 1.5. Definitely, Xiaoning, it will deplete. If the border closing, the capacity, the market picks up very slowly, but it is being put into our worst case scenario that spans towards for the next 5 years.
So what is your cash burn then? I mean, for example, SQ, 100 million Sing dollars, I think Cathay is a billion Hong Kong dollars. What is And maybe its current cash burn per month?
During COVID in 2020, let me shock you a little bit, Shaoning. It's about 25 million per day.
Per day?
Cash burn, yeah. So when we started off with this long-term business plan post-restructuring, our forecast was at minus 6 million per day. But the organization has actually embraced the restructuring and the post-restructuring. Thank God that we're currently burning at about minus 3 million a day. So way ahead of our budget.
But it's still about 90 million a month then, right?
So that's where the 3.6 billion comes in to sustain us for at least the next 2 years. Also, our creditors have agreed with us with contingent deferrals. Mm. If the situation worsened off in 2021 and certain part of 2022, we will activate that contingent deferral that will take us across. So most importantly, Shaoning, when you deal with the creditors, all 75 of them, you need to be transparent. You cannot hide anything. We were as transparent as possible. Imagine I have a negotiation with you. Mm. We kind of like landed on something. And whatever agreement that you and I have, I put it in SharePoint. The other 74 creditors is able to see and view.
And how much free hand do you have, Captain, in implementing all these changes, which can be unpopular? Like, you probably had to let some staff go or, you know, defer salaries. You had to renegotiate contracts with local suppliers, which had been very lucrative for them in the past 20 years. Was there any interference,
no.
Captain? From the political powers that be?
During my watch, there was no interference at all. My board, very interactive, very supportive. They challenged me a lot, to a certain extent, sleepless night sometimes. And wherever we are today, the guidance and steer given by my board, a very small team, board members, about six of them only. And to answer your question, thus far, no interference, but support from governments, from shareholders. Even my shareholder let us run this restructuring by ourselves. Coming back to supply chain, we have many more vendors. So we bucket those which is very critical for the operations to continue at the same time. We don't put them in the restructuring bucket. We will continue to negotiate or have conversation with them. We are approaching an endemic situation, so to speak. Market is opening up. So those people who were not supporting us today is ridiculous. Airport charges, air navigation charges, my IFE product providers, they are so unbelievable. They're trying to recoup what they lost in 2020, possibly, and by loading so much today.
Front-loading their cost or their losses.
So I really am disappointed. I'm very hopeful that they'll come to the table. This is a long journey. It's not a quick win game, right? And I believe you talk to many other businesses, this is what they're suffering. The supply chain is an issue moving forward.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Captain Izam Ismail, Group CEO of Malaysian Aviation Group and MD of Malaysian Airlines Berhad. After the break is the end of the road for MAB if the turnaround plan fails. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. Today's guest is Captain Izam Ismail, Group CEO of Malaysian Aviation Group and MD of Malaysian Airlines Berhad. Before the break, a close examination of the financials of the turnaround plan. Captain, I want to stay on the turnaround plan because I know that, for example, your aircraft rental rate is going to be payable under relevant operating lease agreements, which are going to be reset to market levels in 2022. Am I correct? So I wonder whether next year is actually going to be challenging because cost is going to start running and you're going to have to start burning cash. Ironically, if you keep your planes on the ground, there's less of a cash burn.
Precisely.
Am I correct?
Precisely. So to answer the question, Shaoning, first and foremost, the lease rental will not come back to market. We have a long-term agreement with the lessors and our creditors, the OEMs and so forth. It was not a one-off cost saving for 2021-2022. But however, in 2021, we have the opportunity and liberty that the lessors agreed to us with the power by the hour, with a certain minimum hours. So there's a lot of gain from the airline group from there, right? So if the market is prolonged recovery that we see, we have the opportunity to activate what we call a contingent deferral, where we can continue to leverage on the power by the hour. And there will be a very nominal interest rate that will be payable in 2024. I am really appreciative, Shaoning, officially here on BFM, I would like to reach out to my creditors, all of them. They've been very, very supportive. But in the beginning, it was difficult.
But there's a new spanner in the works, isn't it, Captain? And that is the high jet fuel prices. So I'm not sure what was in your forecast when you went to see the creditors.
Yes.
Because it's up 100% on a year-to-date basis. So does this derail your rather bullish forecast of breaking even by 2023 then?
Xiaoning, there are a few concerns. One of them is the inconsistent opening of borders. Number two is fuel and forex. 0.01 US cent movement will impact the bottom line by 10 million. And a movement of $1 per barrel will impact 30 million. Rule of thumb, right? And the other concern I have is overcapacity at the marketplace, which we see pre-COVID. And there's a lot of really irrational pricing at the marketplace, right? So definitely, Xiaoning, fuel and forex is my concern. We have kept it at a certain budget level, but the trend that is moving forward today is Singjet is $92.
Mm.
I'm worried, to be honest.
Do you hedge? Have you been hedging? Hedging, spot?
No. We do hedge. But we hedge, we do a competitive hedging. So very cautious on that. You know, everybody in 2020 got hit.
Yes.
Right? With the opposite turn.
One of your peers got very badly hit.
Yeah. To be honest, to be fair, all the airlines were hit, right? Including Malaysia Airline. And, to answer your question, Malaysia Aviation Group have to navigate the fuel and forex moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
I don't have a crystal ball.
You don't?
Whether it's going to hit 100 bucks or not. But we are prepared to manage our costs accordingly.
But I'm more interested in this point where you said that there was overcapacity in the market and to the point of fare irrationality and value destruction for all airlines. But doesn't this require a change in government policy? Had conversations so far with them? What do they think about this?
First and foremost, I really like to put it on the table that by no means managing capacity, it will impact consumers. Right, it has to be a balancing act.
Yeah.
And we have had conversation with regulators and the policymakers, and it makes a lot of sense.
Does it? Because it seems that we are reversing time and going back to a protected market, right? In my mind, I always thought governments are here to encourage competition, survival of the fittest. You don't want to create zombie companies.
Which I agree. But post-recovery, we need to create an economic environment, companies which are sustainable, that are able to reinvest back. So overcapacity in the marketplace is my concern. In 2019, Malaysia has a population of 32 million. The airline industry filled 37.5 million seats. Xiaoning, it's like you alone flying to Penang, four airlines fighting for you.
But so, I benefited because I got low prices, right?
Of course.
So every consumer wants this.
Of course.
So from a consumer perspective, why not? Competition is great. Plus, it forces you to be efficient.
If you look at the value chain, if the organization or the company is not sustainable, it will impact the other parts of the value. Even the caterers, you know, the farmers that supply chili to our caterers, that will be impacted throughout the value chain. So I wish it will be a more balanced approach in managing capacity and the importance of consumer needs.
So what has the government said so far in your talks with them? At what stage of the conversation are you at? And is this something that all the other airline companies in Malaysia want also?
Rewinding the clock back in 2018, I did mention to the policymakers then that you have to address this. Otherwise, you will have not only Malaysia Airlines racing to the bottom, you have all four airlines racing to the bottom, which manifested itself, Xiaoning. And my wish is if the policymakers and the regulators could balance between capacity and the importance of respecting consumer needs.
But how do you do this? Because isn't it market forces in a way to dictate the number of seats available for a particular route which is popular?
Precisely. So you need to do an element of capping to a certain extent with prices, right? Minimum, maximum. You must have a certain capacity that is deployed to the marketplace. Not overcapacity, the capacity which is optimum.
Okay.
For the market.
Now, even assuming that this can be done among the domestic aviation companies, airline companies,
foreign will be a challenge.
You will be competing in the skies, right? So, I mean, the likes of Qatar, Emirates, SQ, they're not going to follow our government policy. They will flood the markets if they want to.
Definitely. So this is where Malaysia Inc. is very important, Xiaoning, for us to move forward. Let's look at the domestic market first, right? And we establish a Malaysia Inc. that protects the businesses and the consumers. Qatar, Emirates, they are luxury airlines. So we are very clear. Previously, Malaysia Airlines, we tried to compete in the low-cost market. And here we are, we're trying to compete in the luxury market. But today, Malaysia Airlines, very clear, we are a premium airline. The market requires both. It is how we achieve a balancing act to ensure that businesses are more sustainable moving forward, post-COVID especially.
But Captain, is there a plan C, D or even E? Because I assume this is already B that you're on now. Yeah. If this restructuring plan fails, are you prepared to shut down MAB? Because I would tell you upfront, the taxpayers' appetite for another bailout is nil. National pride is not worth another 28 billion ringgit, if you ask me.
Totally agree. And I'm one of those taxpayers. Precisely, right?
Yeah.
I am very clear. In 2018, I couldn't find a very amiable solution. One of the conversation I have with the shareholders is to shut it down, right?
Shut it down completely?
Completely and rebuild a new airline from, like a phoenix, you know, coming up from the ashes.
A little bit what like Air Italia is doing today.
Well, yeah, it's unfortunate Air Italia had gone through this many times. But I guess, I believe if you were to compare with Air Italia, you know, this is something that I don't want to talk about, don't want to say is, unions is an issue, right? I think that's what Alitalia is facing. Fortunately today, Malaysia Airlines, that our workforce is very, very ingrained with us. So we don't need those kind of interference per se. Coming back, if it doesn't work...
Yeah, what do you do?
Shawning, to be honest, this is the last time we should reset this organization, in my view. But I am confident and I am very bullish with the future of Malaysia Airlines because its balance sheet, its cost structure is very lean and agile now. All we need to do is for the market to open up, and Malaysia Airlines need to go to the market responsibly. And we don't... Shawning, how much do you pay to take a Grab to KLIA? 60, 80?
Yeah, 55 when it's on promo and 65 when it's not.
Does it make any sense for you to fly to Penang for 12 ringgit? Spending more on Grab?
It might not, but I certainly enjoyed
it. Precisely. So that is some movement that we have to adjust, I believe.
But Captain, if really things go down south, because, you know, some things are not within your control, like COVID-19, and I think the virus is very humbling.
Yes.
Are you prepared to be known as the man that closed down MAB, though, if need be?
Shawning, my answer to you, if everything turns south, right, If it has to be under my watch, so be it, right? But Shawning, I have to re-emphasize, the group is very confident with our long-term business plan 2.0, which harnesses on 5 pillars. Pillar number one is to really be clear that we are a premium airline, right? We are not low-cost and we're not luxury. Number two is to regain our market share in the domestic and ASEAN region. Number three is deeper collaboration with our partners with in the air and non-air business. And pillar number four is basically Malaysia Airlines has been strong in its cargo operation, cargo business, in its MRO business engineering, in its ground handling, its Hajj and Umrah. We should leverage on that and many more. And of course, our pillar five is digital. So Malaysia Aviation Group is not a fully blown digital organization. Mm. So we are very digital in our operations, but in the business context. So this is something that we have to transform Malaysia Airlines towards. And taking that 5 pillars, we have 2 key beliefs that's very important to us. People is our true north, and customer is our center of gravity.
On a special extended breakfast grill this morning is Captain Izam Ismail Group, CEO of Malaysian Aviation Group and Managing Director of Malaysian Airlines Berhad, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, but welcome back to a special extended breakfast grill where in the hot seat is Captain Issam Ismail, Group Executive Officer of Malaysian Aviation Group and Managing Director of Malaysian Airlines Berhad. Before the 8:30 a.m. news bulletin, we were talking about the government's policy on aviation and does that need to change. So Captain, let's be optimistic. Travel is happening. We can look forward to it. And you've mentioned this 5 pillars, right? But I want to know your positioning as a premium airline, because on one hand, you've got the low-cost carriers where they make their money from ancillary income. And then on the right-hand side, you've got the luxury players, so Qatar and Emirates, where they make their money at the front of the plane in business class. What kind of yield are you going to get in the middle, though?
This long-term business plan, Chao Ning, was not invented last year or a few months ago or during the restructuring. The long-term business plan was designed in 2018. And in 2019, we were 18% ahead of our net budget. No doubt it's in the negative territory, right? And we are very clear that we should go to market. Well, the market needs low cost. Mm. The market needs premium. And of course, the appetite of market for very luxury product, right? So Malaysia Aviation Group, Malaysia Airlines specifically, we shape our fares, we surround them with product, flexibility, baggages, of course, meals, and many more. So a very, very good example is pre-COVID, there's a lot of business travelers that go to Singapore, right?
Mm.
And we launched this product called MH Shuttle, right? It actually generated 62% more revenue out of Kuala Lumpur and 47% of revenue more incremental out of Singapore.
So you're still chasing yield versus revenue?
Previously, for the last 10 years, Malaysia Airlines has always been trapped in the marketplace trying to compete with the low-cost carriers. With our cost structure, of course, it's committing suicide. So what we did in 2019, we went the opposite direction. My revenue team is very nervous. He says, Captain, you're crazy? You're going the opposite direction? He says, no. Let's go to the market because we know, that there's market for our product.
But what about now, though, Captain? Because you've just gone through a crisis. We're still in the midst of the crisis. I'm sure you're watching your cash burn like a hawk.
Precisely.
So isn't it more important to kind of just fill up that passenger load factor, build that cash to tie you over the next 18, 24 months?
So the very fast way for an airline to manage its cost is to ground aeroplanes. You get instantaneous cost saving when the planes are ground. But you need to fly, especially Malaysia Airlines. We need to be part of the tourism reboot as well. Our strategy is every aircraft that departs must cover variable costs and must cover certain elements of our direct operating costs. If it doesn't cover, we will try and merge the flights and we will notify our consumers very early. So we make this decision 7 days before a departure, whether this flight continues to go on. So we don't really dump fares just to fill up distress seats.
But what about your competition, though? They may not be on the same path, right? They may be dropping fares aggressively because for them, load factor is more important.
I agree.
So then you have to respond because people will just switch.
Precisely, Shani. So our strategy is a long run. It's not a cash call on a daily basis. So from our planning and forecast, Malaysia Aviation Group should be P&L positive in 2023. And Malaysia MAB should be P&L positive in 2024. And we must be very careful not to be sucked into the trap of low cost.
So, but at the same time, I'm sure you're pursuing operational efficiencies,
of
right?
Of course.
How far down the path are you? Are you like, let's say, 70% there, 80% no, there? Is there like a KPI that you're telling your staff we have to work towards?
I salute the people in Malaysia Aviation Group or Malaysia Airlines specifically, Shao Ning, we are quite efficient today, right?
Because in the past, like headquarter cost was very high.
Yeah. You have regional managers with their big houses in Los Angeles. 2019, November, we are already a virtual company. I don't have an office. My office is my car. So that's how versatile and agile the organization has gone.
Are you going to be able to keep staff costs at 7-8% though? Because this is in part due to all the deferments, right? If let's say there's recovery, they're not going to tolerate deferments. You're going to have to go back to the old pay scale. Will inch up again?
Thank you for bringing this question up, Shao Ning. So during the pandemic, the organization took a pay cut. So we had to balance between retrenchment or keeping people.
Mm.
And being in the industry for so long, pilots, cabin crew, engineers take a long time to train, right? You open up at the market, then you bring them in, you got to train them. So we were balancing how to manage our workforce. And we decided the organization will take a salary cut. So those who earn a certain level above, right up to the board, including me, will have to take a pay cut as high as 66%, as low as 10%. That money saved will be used to support the lower income group, which is the baggage handlers, which is our cabin crew, right? Our pilots are the biggest, those who have actually volunteered to cut their salary, 66%. And most of the people in the organization, especially the frontliners, has gone on no pay leave, right? Mm. So moving forward, do we reinstate back the salary previously in 2019? We can't. We have to reset everything totally. So you are the first to know about this, about the restructuring of our reward scheme to our people. It must be productivity driven. It must be result driven. But net-net, at the end of the day, if you discharge the same level of productivity you did in 2019, you will earn more, right? So it is very variabilized, very productive.
And all the staff have signed on?
Not yet. So You're the first one.
Okay.
Okay. Even my staff have not heard of this yet.
All right. But I think it won't be so easy to implement,
Definitely. Sure. Definitely. But there's two sides. You have to choose. Either we do this for the long term, or we continue with this salary reduction until
infinite,
right?
And what about yourself, Captain? When does your contract end?
It ends last November in 2020.
But you're still here.
Yeah. Been in the business for the last 41 years. And I am 60 years old. I'm ready for retirement. So I was ready for retirement in November, but the shareholders and the board says this is not the time to go because of the restructuring that we're going. Very good and valid point. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, I'll do another year. My board wanted me to do another 5 years. I said, no, you don't go that far. I need to retire. To ensure that Malaysia Aviation Group move forward in a very stable manner, I'll be here for a little while, but not 5 years.
Okay.
Right?
Little while not being defined though.
Yes. And I'm hoping that this group of team members, it's about 11 of them, will take this organization forward. And I believe my task today, post-restructuring, 80% of my time, I should be focusing more on people. And I should allow the 80% of running the business run by my C-suites.
Would you then say these 2 years out of your 40-year-plus career have been the most challenging and exhausting?
Xiao Ning, I come from a very, I wouldn't say humble beginning. My background, I come from a very poor family. Malaysia Airlines is my life and will continue to be my life. Took me out from poverty, right? So is it a national duty? Yes. But basically, I believe in this company. I believe in the organization. The unity of the people that takes care of each other. It's a caring organization. But caring doesn't mean that we are not disciplined in performance driven. We are. But we take care of each other. And we see this change for the last 2-3 years, right? It has been a fantastic journey for the last 40 years. I was a pilot. After 10 years being a pilot, the management picked me up that this guy can be a potential, so they start training me. And I am not an accountant. During the financial restructuring, I got to learn very, very fast. So does my team. So I hope this organization, and I believe they will be successful in the future.
On that note, thank you for your time today. On The Breakfast Grill was Captain Izam Ismail, Group Chief Executive Officer of Malaysian Aviation Group and also Managing Director of Malaysian Airlines. I'm Wong Xiao Ning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.